I'm just going to start by very quickly letting you know how you can access interpretation should you need it during the meeting. So you have the choice to listen to the conversation in either English or Spanish. You go down to the bottom of your screen and you click on the little globe down there. There is an interpretation option. You can click that and you can either click English or Spanish. If you need help or have any issues with sound or audio, please feel free to type in the chat and we can assist you. And with that, I will turn it over to our secretary to say a few words.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody. I'm excited to be here and it's wonderful to see all the public participation. We are really pleased to be able to present, well, you have seen them, you've been reviewing them, but to have this opportunity in a public setting to hear directly from so many of our critical stakeholders about what you like, what you don't like so much, and other recommendations that you may have for us as we move forward. But we do appreciate all of you and we welcome everybody's comments. We will be working very closely together after this to address those comments, and that will take a period of time. But I want to know that our commitment, my commitment to all of you and our team's commitment, is to continue to communicate where we are in the process, what the next steps will be, and how we will continue to move forward to improve access to quality childcare, safe, healthy, nurturing environments for young children while their families can go to work, to school, to take care of their family needs. We want to clarify things in our regulations that have not been as clear as all of us had thought they were or hoped they were. And finally, and very importantly, wherever possible, reduce burden on providers, clients, and the staff at the Early Childhood Education and Care Department. So those are our goals. I will turn it over to the team and I'll listen in as much as I can and be here. And again, grateful to all of you for your thoughtful contributions, your time and energy in helping us make the strongest and best prenatal to five early childhood system in the country. And clearly, childcare is a critical piece of this as we work through a pandemic where families' lives have been disrupted, children's lives have been disrupted, providers' lives have been disrupted. But we know by working together and improving how we communicate and how we work together, we will get through this in an even stronger way. So thank you. And with that, I'll turn it over to Claire.
Thank you very much, Secretary Gorginski. We greatly appreciate you being here and giving us this great words as we start off this hearing process. My name is Claire Dudley-Chavez, and I'm the Director of Policy Research and Quality Initiatives for ECECD. Very pleased that you all are here to join us this afternoon. Happy New Year. And I'm now going to turn it over to Jacqueline Gonzalez. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Dudley-Chavez. Good afternoon. My name is Jacqueline Gonzalez. I am the hearing officer for the Early Childhood Education and Care Department. Today is Wednesday, January 6, 2021. It is now 1:04 p.m. This public hearing is now in session and is being electronically recorded pursuant to Regulation 1.24.25.13 of the New Mexico Administrative Code. Due to restrictions in holding public proceedings during the COVID-19 pandemic, this hearing is being conducted via phone and internet video conferencing. The purpose of this hearing is to receive public comment regarding amendments to Title 8, Chapter 15, Part 2 of the New Mexico Administrative Code, specifically requirements for child care assistance programs for clients and child care providers as authorized by Section 9-2A-7 New Mexico Statutes Annotated 1978 Compilation. Said amendments were initially published as emergency amendments effective September 18, 2020, due to the COVID-19 health crisis and the resulting executive orders and declarations, there was a need for an emergency amendment to this regulation in order to protect the public from imminent peril to public health, safety, and welfare of children and families in New Mexico. We'll proceed with introductions. Would the agency's representative please identify yourself for the record?
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Kimberly Brown, and I am the Bureau Chief for the Child Care Services Bureau, which administers the Child Care Assistance Program.
Good afternoon, Ms. Brown. Would you please introduce agency staff in attendance today?
Sure. We have Alejandra Revalera, and actually what I'll do is I'll just call them out and they can provide their title. Alejandra?
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for your attendance in such an important meeting. Again, my name is Alejandra Rebolledo Rea, and I'm the Division Director for the Early Care Education and Nutrition Division for the department. Thank you.
Thank you. Patricia Stewart?
Sure. Good afternoon. Thank you guys for being here. My name is Patricia Stewart. I am the Assistant Bureau Chief for the Child Care Services Bureau.
Thank you, Patricia. Leah? Davidson, please.
Hi, my name is Leah Davidson. I am helping with technology today, but I am the Family Infant Toddler Program Coordinator.
Thank you, Leah. Ashley Smith?
Hi, good morning, everybody, or good afternoon. My name is Ashley Smith, and I am the lead case analyst under Claire Dudley for the PQR, for the Policy Ashley. Research Quality Initiative.
Thank you, Ashley. And Trace?
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm the Quality Assurance Manager for the same division.
Thank you, Trace. And I do see that we have many other ECEC staff, but for the sake of time, we just want to thank them for joining and listening in, as this is an important regulation change, proposed regulation changes for everyone. So thank you.
Thank you, staff. Thank you, Ms. Brown. I have received the following exhibits for today's hearing and have numbered them accordingly. For the record, I will just name the documents that I have in my possession. The pre-filed exhibits that we have, number one, is the New Mexico Register Notice of Rulemaking in a Public Hearing with a Proposed Amendment attached. Number two, Notice of Rulemaking in Public Hearing, newmexicokids.org. Number three, Rule Hearing Search. Number four, Field Office Posting of the Notice of Rulemaking in Public Hearing. Number five, Request to Post Notice of Rulemaking in Public Hearing on newmexicokids.org website. Number six, Verification of Notice of Rulemaking in Public Hearing for New Mexico Early Childhood Education Care Department.org. Number seven, Notice of Rulemaking in Public Hearing to New Mexico Legislative Council. Number eight, is an email from Deborah Gonzalez regarding rulemaking process dated November 20th, 2020, with a notice of rulemaking and public rule hearing as an attachment. Number nine, recipient and community member comment, email dated November 30th, 2020. Number 10, provider comment, email dated December 8th, 2020. Number 11th is a public comment, email dated December 10th, 2020. Number 12, public comment, UNM Department of Family, Community Medicine and College of Population Health, email dated December 15th, 2020. Number 13, public comment from Catholic Charities, email dated December 16th, 2020. Number 14, public comment, email from Olay Education Fund. Email is dated December 16th, 2020. Number 15, public comment, One Albuquerque Family and Community Services. Email dated December 17th, 2020. Number 16, public comment, email dated December 17th, 2020. Number 17, public comment, Mission Achievement and Success Charter School, email dated December 17th, 2020. Number 18, public comment, Science Instructional Coach, email dated December 17th, 2020. Number 19, public comment, email dated December 17th, 2020. Number 20, public comment, email dated December 17th, 2020. Number 21, public comment, email dated 12/21/20. Number 22, public comment, handwritten letter, undated. Number 23, public comment, email dated December 24th, 2020 in Spanish. Number 24, affidavit of publication for the Santa Fe, New Mexican. Number 25, affidavit of publication for the Las Cruces Sun News. Number 26, affidavit of publication, unidentified as to which publication that was for. And as of this time, these are the items that have been received. We will continue with numbering any exhibits submitted with number 27. And as a reminder, all verbal and written comments received during the comment period will be recorded, reviewed, and considered prior to the agency's final decision. Although department representatives are present, they will not be responding to comments during this hearing. All persons who wish to speak will have the opportunity to do so. For purposes of administrative efficiency, public comment will be received by three methods. Number one, phone only. Number two, participation by video. And number three, submission of written comments to the department's email box. If you are participating by phone only, please identify yourself now. A department representative will note who you are and call on you to state your comments for the record. If you are participating by video and wish to provide comment, please utilize the chat option to indicate your desire to speak, and a department representative will call on you at the appropriate time. During the course of this hearing, if you wish to submit written comment, you may email to ececd-ecs-publiccomment@state.nm.us, and we will place this email address in our chat. When you are recognized to provide public comment, please state your name and relevant affiliation or the organization you represent. Your comments should address the specific rule changes being proposed today. Please speak clearly for the record. We will now begin with persons participating by phone only, followed by persons participating by video. I'm sorry, I made a mistake earlier. I just added the email address to the chat box for public comment. If any participant would like to submit a comment to the email box. Is there anyone who'd like to submit public comment orally right now? Thank you. Is there anyone present who is requesting interpreter services? We have a Spanish interpreter available. Thank you. Ms. Maggie Zinn.
Yes, good morning, good afternoon. I am an early childhood researcher. I have about 20 years experience in the field. From 1999 until 2019, I worked in New Mexico. So first of all, let me say I am so excited about the involvement, the enthusiasm. I attended a hearing about the child care subsidy modifications in, I think it was 2010, and there were three of us there. So this is a fabulous, fabulous, very heartening turnout, and I am so excited. I have just a couple of comments. One is an ongoing concern that I have had for a long, long time, and that is with the child care subsidy co-payments. They go to an income of $2,700, and then once you make $2,701, you're not eligible for subsidy anymore. And if you have an infant in a five-star program, that means that you go from paying $148 a month for your child care to paying $1,270 a month, which is the reimbursement rate. That is a big concern. And so I really want to encourage the department to look at a wider bridge between qualifying and not qualifying. So that is one thing. And then the second topic is the fact that the demographic of the families who participate in the child care subsidy program are participating because they experience economic hardship, which is one of the major factors in ACEs. And so this population within our families in New Mexico are in need of a lot of extra attention and support and care. And so I would recommend that the families who receive the child care subsidy also receive opportunities through the program to improve their ability to parent well. I think everyone, actually, whether they're experiencing economic hardship or not, could use some really high quality parenting tips. But we do have a population that is identified as experiencing economic hardship. So there are various programs. The Harvard School of Early Childhood Education has a lot of wonderful resources. I'm sure UNM has great resources that can be provided as video clips. The Tune In, Talk More, Take Turns program that is funded by a bank east of the Mississippi. I just really feel that the parents who, or the families who are participating in the child care subsidy deserve some extra help. And that goes to my final comment, which is the aligning the SNAP, Medicare, and child care subsidy application process in New Mexico would be great, because families experiencing economic hardship have to go through the child care subsidy application process, SNAP, Medicare. It's all separate. It would be great if it was one-stop shopping for the families. Other than that, I just want to say thank you for your time. I miss New Mexico and hope to see you guys again. Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak.
Thank you, Ms. Zen. May I ask you one question?
Certainly.
Are you affiliated with a particular organization or agency?
No, I'm just an independent researcher.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Any other comments?
Is this an open call for any public comment?
Sure.
Okay, sure. I'd love to give some comments. My name is Tim Davis. I'm with the New Mexico Center on Law and Poverty. And first, I'd just like to start by thanking the department for its response to the current pandemic and the emergency regulations that it promulgated and for making those permanent during a public health emergency. So thank you for that. I'd also like to say that childcare is a great investment for New Mexico. We all know that the earliest years in children's lives are the most important in their development, and they lay the foundation for all that is to come. And that working families need access to affordable childcare that they can trust to ensure their children have a safe space to learn while their parents are working to further their education and provide food for the table. And childcare is effective because it addresses a family's needs at a two-generation level. It allows parents to work toward attaining economic security for their family, and it provides a safe learning environment for the youngest New Mexicans. New Mexico's high-quality childcare increases school readiness for children, and it improves child well-being by helping to prevent child abuse and neglect. And with all that in mind, the New Mexico Center on Law and Poverty would like to thank the department for all of the positive changes in these proposed rules, including but not limited to eliminating the child support enforcement requirements that were a barrier to accessing childcare, revising which sources of income count for eligibility and co-payment calculations. This will make childcare more affordable. Eliminating the in-person application requirement and allowing applications through electronic submission. And also expanding eligibility to graduate students. Along with these steps in the right direction, we do ask you to take other steps in rulemaking to make childcare more accessible and affordable for our families. And our written comments outline these recommendations, and they include putting a full list of required verifications into the regs, promulgating final regulations that make child care assistance available to all grandparents who are raising grandchildren, and putting the calculation for income into the regulations. And as we outline in our comments that we submitted today, all of these recommendations are within the scope of the proposed rulemaking and can be promulgated in the final rule. So we encourage the department to take these steps and make these changes in the final rule, and we appreciate all the positive steps the department is taking in the notice of proposed rulemaking. And thank you for the opportunity to comment.
Thank you, Mr. Davis. Next in the chat is Barbara Tetro.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much. First, I would like to thank Cabinet Secretary Gryginski, Deputy Secretary Salee, Legal Counsel Kate Gerard, and the other employees of ECECD for their time and work put into the review and the recommendations for the changes to the New Mexico child care regulations. What I would like to bring up is regulation 8.15.2.15H1. And if I can read that for you, required applications with New Mexico Human Services Department's Child Support Enforcement Division, CSED. Number one, when one or both of the child's parents are absent from the home, the client shall apply for child care support through CSED within 12 months of initial application with the Child Care Assistance Program. And to my understanding now, looking at the proposal, that it is looking to be stricken from the regulation. So while I agree with the concept and can see the thought behind the need to strike and remove this regulation, I do not agree with this proposal. The reason being that over 8 years ago, providers came to the table where there was the link that this was not needed. And fraud was being committed by parents in gaining childcare applications while not reporting a two-household income. So a true and accurate income that came from the providers, various providers, saying that there was actually a two household mother and father, however not married, and when applying stating that they were receiving no help from the other parent. And so when providers came to the table, after lots of back and forth and communication from the director at the time, Diana Martinez Gonzalez, and Cabinet Secretary Dynas, the proposed change after going through the process of public comment was put into regulation. So a concern for women that were experiencing domestic violence and now having to file for child support with the fear that an offender would now find out where they were living was taken care of by having those clients file an affidavit stating their concern, and that under oath, this was the reason they did not want to file for child support. That was still deemed and is deemed an acceptable exemption to filing for child support. The concern was taken care of 8 years ago when this was put into regulation. To my understanding and through my own experience of a family that has had to apply and utilize the exemption for fear of leaving a domestic partner and having to move to a homeless shelter. The exemption works. The affidavit works. It was put into a place at the time that was deemed there was lots of fraud happening. Within the first year of changing this regulation, the department director told the Legislative Finance Committee that millions of dollars had been saved that could now be utilized for families that had been placed on wait lists or are now actually eligible for the services. My concern with taking out this regulation is that you are now making childcare directors, owners, and workers the policing of those families and responsible for now helping and reporting fraud. So I hope that the committee can see the thoughtfulness and hard work that was put into making this change and instilling it into childcare regulations. The concern for victims of domestic violence was acknowledged, and an alternative of an affidavit was added to protect them. A family's trust in the system is vital, and the cabinet secretary and director agreed the affidavit is working. Removing it totally removes accountability from people seeking childcare assistance and being honest and truthful. This regulation does not totally fix the fraud and abuse of the system. However, it definitely deterred people and alleviated program directors from having to police their families. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Tetro. For the record, would you please let us know if you are affiliated with an organization or agency? And can you unmute yourself? Please.
Sorry.
Thanks.
No, at this time I am doing public comment, presenting myself, Barbara Tedra, as an owner of 3D Enterprises Incorporated, doing business as a Gold Star Academy and Smiling Faces Child Care Center.
Thank you so much. Next is Ms. Nguyen with the New Mexico Asian Family Center.
Hi, thank you for this opportunity to share some of our experience and thought by working with the families and community in childcare assistance program. First of all, I am supporting the proposed changes by the department. I think those are the right step in the right direction to make childcare assistance program more affordable and accessible to our families. And we believe that this will create opportunity to improve the life of the children and family in our state, especially those with lower income family in our state. Second, I am also supporting all comments submitted by the New Mexico Center on Law and Poverty, and we are assigned on of that letter. And especially, we think the proposal to include the income calculation formula in regulation is important. Because again, the more we make the rule or regulation easy to understand, the better for the family. That's our experience. And also, we would like for the rule to rename the section on citizenship and eligible immigration status. Because without changing the name, it is confusing to the community. if we just say citizenship, because again, it is confusing that only, you know, children with citizenship can, you know, apply for that program. Also, the removal of, you know, the work or education requirement for grandparents are very important, because, you know, our family, you know, that take care of children does not only include parents, but also a grandparent, right? So, and grandparents, it's very hard for them to, you know, fulfill those requirements. Last, I believe that the child care assistance program should be should provide language access for the family, because with the Asian family, Asian and Pacific, you know, family, we do face a lot of language access in understanding what the program are about, but also accessing those programs. So translation of the application eligibility into languages, including Spanish, Vietnamese, and Chinese, would be very important for our family to access those programs. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Nguyen. Would you please pronounce your first name for us?
Huong, H-U-O-N-G.
Thank you. Next is Erica Gallegos with Olay.
Good afternoon. Just want to thank Secretary Griginski and everyone in the department for these proposed rule changes. We stand in favor of these rule changes. We speak with parents across the state every day that are affected directly by many of the issues that these changes are going to address, especially the issue with child support enforcement. We speak with parents who may have a court order that requires the another parent to pay child support, and that is counted towards their income. However, they never see that income. And we speak with parents whose husband has been deported, and they're being required to sue that parent for child support, and they're unable to do that, but they are denied a contract because that parent is not paying child support. We speak with parents who are survivors of domestic violence and are afraid to sue their partner or their previous partner for child support, despite the fact that it's been addressed in the past. This is still an issue that we speak with parents about. And so, again, we just want to thank the department for these rule changes, and thank you for allowing me.
Thank you, Ms. Gallegos. As a quick reminder, if you have not provided your contact information to the department, would you please do so in the chat box? If you can provide an email address or a phone number, that would be appreciated. And we have a total of 76 participants in the room right now. If you have just recently joined us and would like to comment on the proposed rule changes, please identify yourself for the record. Is there anyone in the group who has indicated a desire to address us?
Francis Rosas? Hello?
Yes, Ms. Rosas, would you like to provide comment?
No, I just wanted to give my name. That's it.
Okay, thank you.
Someone has provided an email address for us, joe2k@hotmail.com. Can you tell us who that belongs to?
That belongs to me, Frances Rosas.
Thank you, Ms. Rosas.
Mm-hmm.
Would anyone else like to submit public comment, either verbally or chat? Okay, Ms. Lori Lamas, would you like to provide comment to us?
I was just notifying that I was here and a contact information.
You're just signing in, basically.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, all right. So second call for anyone else who would like to speak to the group and provide public comment. We have a comment from Antoinette Taft, T-A-F-T. She notes in the chat that she supports the changes. Ms. Taft, would you like to address the group, or is this sufficient?
Hi, this is Antoinette Taft. That is sufficient. I've got four kids with me. I doubt they're going to be quiet for much longer. I do support the child support being removed as a qualification requirement. I've talked to some families, foster families, adoptive families, and they may have older children, as it was said before. Some have court orders and don't receive the funds, or the child support is for a child that's not receiving care, and they have adoptive children that do need care, and they are either having to pay such a high amount or are disqualified because of income that's coming into the home for another child, but they are limited or have to have these exorbitant amount for, you know, to cover child care because of the child support requirement. So that's all I wanted to say. I know that was said before and I agree with it. Thank you. Stay quiet.
Thank you, Ms. Taft. All right, Ms. Erica Gallegos added meant to her as I meant to include in my states like Arizona, who also do not require child support. Thank you, Ms. Gallegos. April Wade from Little Forest Place School, do you have a comment to provide? All right, April Wade, Ms. Wade's comment is, I support the changes to the child support reg. Thank you, Ms. Wade. We have a note from Count Your Blessings indicating they can't hear. So for the individual from Count Your Blessings, we are awaiting public comment and you will hear silence until someone lets us know they want to speak. If you'd like to speak to the group and provide public comment, please let us know if you'd like to. Thank you. Okay. There have been a few people who've joined in by phone. If you have just joined us and would like to comment on the proposed rule changes, please let us know. Okay, Patricia Grovey with Child and Family Services, Inc. and Lee County Early Childhood Coalition. Ms. Grovey, would you like to comment?
Yes, I would. I would again like to just echo all the sentiments, thanking Secretary Groginski and all of the amazing staff at ECECD for the amazing work they have done in such a short while. My comment is specifically regarding the payment for services. I really appreciate the new language that allows parents the flexibility and the option to enter into a new childcare agreement with a new provider, especially if they had their child withdrawn from a provider because of health, safety, or welfare of the child was at risk. I know in the past we've been challenged with parents who wanted to make a change, but because they already had an existing contract, were not able to access services with a new provider as swiftly. And I noticed there's several notations regarding that in different cases that make it easier for parents and then, of course, the new childcare providers. So definitely in support of that and all of the proposed rulemaking.
Thank you, Ms. Grovey. Would you kindly send us your email address? You can put that in the chat box. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we received a comment in Spanish. Would our interpreter please interpret that, please? It's from Miles Tokunel.
Patricia, if you would like to interpret it and then write the English version in the chat, that might be the easiest way.
Jackie, if it is acceptable and if it is possible, I can translate the question. I mean, I can translate the comment. And is that possible?
Yes, it's possible. But we also have Patricia in the room. And I'm assuming she can't hear us. Can we check on that, Leah?
I was muted, I apologize. She can hear us. She might be typing right now.
I see. Thank you. For the record, our interpreter today is Ms. Patricia Cardona Zapata. Ms. Davidson, we are having the comments translated. Would you like to read them, or do we want Patricia to, our interpreter, to read them? Or I may read them.
I think that you could read the English version. Are you saying you see a translation?
Yes, I see a translation.
Okay.
It's partial, it's not complete.
Okay. Maybe let's wait until it's complete.
Yes, we'll do that. Thank you. While our interpreter is translating, I will read a comment from Count Your Blessings. My name is Maria, and I just wanted to say that as the contact for the contracts at our center, we are really in support of the new changes that will be helping so many of our families. Thank you, Maria. It looks as though the interpreter has completed her translation, and that is, Miles, I am agree with the reg changes. This helps single mothers considerably, some of them. It is impossible for some. It's impossible to get services due to the amount of requirements, so their hands are tied. Meanwhile, they are denied contract for childcare, and this in turn limits their ability to get ahead. Thank you, Miles. Miles, would you also provide us with your email address or contact information? You can include that in the chat box. Thank you. It is now 2 p.m. If you have just joined us and would like to comment on the proposed rule change, please identify yourself for the record. Ms. Rebecca Glenn has included an email address for us. Ms. Glenn, would you like to provide a comment?
Sorry to confuse. I had forgotten to change my name when I started the meeting. So Miles is actually me. I'm Rebecca Glenn with Olay.
Thank you, Rebecca Glenn. There are a few new attendees. If you have just joined the hearing and would like to comment on the proposed rule changes, please identify yourself for the record. Thank you.
This is Millie Weed from Clovis. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. I didn't get to catch in on the first part of the meeting. I was with the children. But I wanted a little clarification there on the last page where it talked about the provider. If the person that was getting assistance was behind in their copay, I think it needs to be on there documented somehow that because we do have the right to charge state tax, you know, pass it on to them, that whenever they give us monies that we can deem in our own business whether we are going to apply it first to pay our state taxes or not, since they do have a contract with us. I know in the past what it's been is they just show a receipt to their caseworker, like if they owe $30 or whatever, and then they're good to go to someone else, and they pretty much leave us high and dry.
Thank you. I got your first name, Millie. Can you spell your last name for us?
It's W-E-E-D,
thank
Weed.
You.
I think there should be a provision for the providers in there not to be treated like that. Yes, it's true that we can go take them on to court, but that's a real long process for the provider to do. And if we could get some help this other way, that would be very much appreciated.
Thank you, Ms. Weed.
Because it seems like it would be up to the business owner to see where they want to apply that $30 first. And I did have a question also on the, I noticed in here it was listed monthly reimbursement rates. I was wondering about that because I thought there had been a cost study done and those rates weren't set in stone just yet because of the cost study. I was wondering about that.
Thank you, Ms. Weed.
Is there any clarification on that?
I'm going to ask if there's a program manager who can answer the question. Normally, we don't respond to questions during the public hearing unless it's an administrative issue, but the program manager can speak to that.
Okay. And you did get it noted that I was hoping there would be some clarification as it's up to the business owner where they apply that $30 on their end first, correct?
Yes, ma'am. These comments are also being recorded, so we'll catch every word.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
And I apologize, Ms. Gonzalez, was there something that you wanted me to speak to, you were saying?
Ms. Brown, if you are able to, I just advise Ms. Weed that we normally don't respond to questions. This is strictly a comment period, but if you can provide some administrative guidance to her as to her questions, that would be helpful.
And I guess I'm sorry, I missed which particular portion that are referencing.
Ms. Weed, you had several questions and comments.
It was the one about the, I noticed that there was a, there's an amount of monies like for the infants, the toddlers, the preschools that's listed out on these proposed regulations. I knew that there had been like a cost study done. I was thinking, is this the result of the cost study right here, or are we to await further to see what that pans out to be?
I can respond to that. Is better. Thank you.
And I'm Kate Gerard. I'm general counsel for the department, and I thank you for raising that question. The reg changes as have been proposed, that's the rates are not being changed, and you are accurate that there is an ongoing rate study. We will, however, as a department, be providing response to all of the questions and comments raised. And so it may be that we actually need to put in writing this response, and we will. I just don't wanna, this Zoom world is difficult to respond in as a department. And so we wanna make sure that we provide thorough response, and we will. We are committed to looking at the rates and having accurate rates. And the rate study that you refer to is happening. It's just not complete yet. So thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you,
Ms. Weed. That's all I have. What now?
Thank you, Ms. Weed.
Thank you.
All right, we have another comment from Mayra Guerrero. My name is Mayra Guerrero, owner and director of Little Footprints. I would like to state that we are in support of the new changes to have the families in our rural community. Thank you, Ms. Guerrero. All right, it's about 2:11 p.m. Would anyone else like to comment on the rule changes? Ms. Guerrero, as a follow-up to your comment, would you please insert your email address or contact information in the chat? Thank you. All right, just checking in again. It is 2:18 p.m. Are there any participants who would like to provide comment? We have a written comment from Zenobia. I support the increase. When I was an early educator, my husband decided to go back to school for a career change. We were dependent on my income and have two children. I was considered over the limit to qualify for assistance, even though my income barely covered our monthly bills. Qualifications need to be raised so that we are able to provide quality care for our own children and not worry if we are unable to pay for childcare expenses. Thank you. Now, Ms. Zenobia, I see you've provided an email address. Is T-R-I-M-N-E-L-L your last name? Thank you very much. All right, it is 2:30 p.m. If you've just joined the hearing and would like to comment on the proposed rule changes, please identify yourself for the record. I've also included in the chat box the email address for public comment. All right, just another check-in. The proposed rule can be seen at the ECD website, and we've provided the web address in the chat box. It is 2:37 p.m. If anyone would like to submit oral comment, please do so. We have a comment from Shannon McFarland. I appreciate the work that you have done to ensure families can access high quality childcare. The qualification process seems to be simplified for families. Thank you, Ms. McFarland. To Shannon McFarland, would you please identify the name of the organization? Gallup-McKinley County Schools, thank you. Just a quick check-in. If you've recently joined the hearing and would like to comment on the proposed rule changes, please identify yourself for the record. You may submit oral or written comment. The website for the rule change is on the ECECD website. It's listed in the chat box. The email address for public comment is also in the chat box. Just to check in, it is now 2:52 p.m. As a reminder, the close of the public comment period will end at 3 p.m. today. If you have written comment to submit, please submit them to the email address listed in the chat box. That is ececd-ecs-publiccomment@state.nm.us. It is now 3 o'clock p.m. Thank you all for your attendance and participation. This hearing is adjourned and the period for public comment is now closed.
Thank you, Madam Hearing Officer.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Hearing Officer.
Thank you, Mr. Egan.